The Survivor Specialist, Phil and Blake, are back, and Blake has promised he will only say one outlandish thing on this episode. I always have to spoil what you say beforehand, Blake, because I can't let you get away with not saying now one outlandish thing. So I'm very excited for what that's going to be. We are digging deeper into episode number 4 of Survivor 48. Crazy Blindside, Wild Tribal Council. We lose Thomas. We lose Blake. Blake here to talk about himself being eliminated. We now know that your ceiling, because Thomas is the best version of you, we now know that your ceiling is 15th place. Like, we can confirm.
I mean, that apparently that's when every gay person is going to get eliminated for the rest of our lives. Of like, Yam Yam, Jam Jam wins one time, and then we're like screwed for the rest of our lives. Of Keyshawn, Banu, Love It didn't even get that far. And then who else? Oh, well, Thomas.
Somebody had put out a post that said 15th is now the new gay.
Oh, and Sean.
Yeah, Sean. That was it. Yeah.
It literally is the last four seasons exactly 15th place or worse for John Lovett. And you're like, oh, there was that bi guy last season. And you're like, you don't remember his name anymore. And you're like, bro, these. As soon as I get new flooded of memories of these all-stars on this season, how could I remember who was in charge of Operation France or whatever it was? This was a good episode. It does seem like the growing pains are over for New Era.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's always that type of thing. If you go back of like, there was some good seasons of the Philippines and Cagayan and San Juan del Sur, after a couple of rough seasons of the ones before it. And maybe that is not history repeating itself, but maybe that is the, like, when we do come up with some new rules of how to produce Survivor, when we come up with some new standards of how we cast, it does take a while before we figure it out, before we know how to edit it, before we know how to do some other stuff. And it does feel like they have not only hit their stride, they have proven that it works, and now we're four seasons into this is good Survivor and what it looks like nowadays. And too bad, so sad if you don't like rewards or journeys, because they are going to matter in this early part of the game. And this mm-hmm. is the first time where was someone tribe screwed? Like, no, they use their advantages completely perfectly. And I think people will say from now on, like, okay, I'm going to try and do what Kyle and Camilla did that one time when Thomas went home.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, in terms of swap screwed, Will and I really dove into that. I don't feel like you can be swap screwed anymore in the new era, because I feel like you're screwed in so many other ways. Like, Justin wasn't swap screwed, but Justin was more screwed than Thomas was. And it's not like this switch really worked out poorly for Thomas. He was in the advantageous position, technically. He had a 3-2 advantage.
I mean, all he had to do was use his.
Yeah, like, he didn't steal a
vote.
Or was, and that's blocked? Why, though, I put that in the title of, we got to talk about telling tribe mates about advantages. If he tells his teammates about his advantage, Thomas is probably still in the game, because they probably hedged their bets.
All three of the California girls would be jumping up and down and being like, great, we're fine no matter what. I'm sure there's at least one of them that would have been like, unless we don't think we need to play it and we can save it for the merge. And maybe they're right back to square one of Thomas goes out that way. But it did feel like it was the perfect storm of, there's a lot of confidence in this group. Mm-hmm. I don't think it went cocky. I think it went, we're taking everything of what people are saying at face value. Yeah. And that's a good way to lose Survivor of, why would they be lying of like, no, Camilla was on the bottom the whole time. It's like, why are they both telling you that? Like, yeah. for every single time.
Well, I think what they said that really sold them on it was that Kyle really played it up as, well, Camilla, you weren't really on the bottom. Like, Camilla or Kyle kind of played it up as if he was trying to be convincing of like, no, Camilla, you're not as bad as you're making it out to be. We liked you more than that. All of those things. So to me, it felt like Camilla and Kyle did play this about as perfectly as you could have, where even if they knew about Thomas's advantage, I'm not sure that the California girls play it, but I assume they would have. Like, I really do assume that they would have, because we did get confirmation from Dalton Ross that the extra vote was played last night. And they didn't show that.
It'll be explained at the beginning. So,
yeah, and that it'll be explained at the beginning. So I think that they were playing really hard defense. I don't know if we would have seen the same level of defense from the California girls in this situation, because really the only way Thomas goes home guaranteed is if there is an extra vote and if there is an idol. Because the way they would have probably played this, had they, if they even knew about the steal of vote, is they would have said, well, let's do just like two votes here. I guess you would have to do, you would have to play the extra vote, because then it would be 2-2-2, because otherwise you're doing 2-2-1. So yeah, I mean, that makes sense. So yeah, they probably actually would have played it. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there was a vote for Joe in there or something, of like, yeah, we just didn't want to show it because Joe wins. Joe, but like, know. I who
did
wins?
Did you not get the memo? David wins. We already know this. It's already over.
Oh, David wins. Fact that was 67% on Edgic. I have David and five girls on my team, and I've only lost one, I guess. Stephanie, we're losing. For all the stuff we're saying about like this is a very guy heavy season, this is a boot order that some people are dreaming about, of girl, guy going home.
I said it in my after show today. I think that what they're setting up, especially after what we watched last night, is a David win, where they're really leaning into David getting along with the women and stuff, because it's a female heavy jury. And so David ends up getting the votes over whoever's sitting next to him, because he connected the best with the women, who are going to make up a large portion of this jury. Cause right now only one woman has been voted out. We have four people gone and three of them are men.
That's literally the opposite of what we said all pre the beach even starting. Like
I said, that a man is going to win. That's what I said. A man is going to win, and that is going to happen. It's locked in. It's done.
Well, why even watch the next eight episodes if David's just going to win, you know?
Well, because why do we rewatch seasons of Survivor? Because we like it.
Every season matters, and we love this stuff. I'm all positive. What an episode for Mary. I think she is going to be... Oh, how did Mary get fourth place or something? Oh, she got swapped into a perfect scenario for her, where David's not really too excited to be around Charity. And then Eva is not too excited to be around Star, and Mary can just live in that middle of like, even if we went four times to a tribal council, I could probably beat David in fire making, and I'll be the last one standing out of this. Like, Mary could not have gotten more blessed by the Survivor gods, except, well, when she got a 1 in 6 chance of surviving last time. I think that's going to pay off tremendously. I think that storyline of, well, let's work it out. If we do see each other again in the future, that's why they're leaving that in, instead of being like, I don't think Say or Mary are going home before the merge happens, because there's got to be another chapter of their story later. I was blindsided by Thomas leaving, though, of like, whenever it kind of sucks. I'm on the West Coast. It's impossible to have Survivor not get spoiled with you unless you throw your phone underneath your couch for like 4 hours. And so I was like, just going around on Twitter. And then I saw a freaking like buy Thomas thing. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, it sucks that it ruins that whole episode for me of like, I don't, but like, I get to watch it with a different layer of thinking, but like, I never get the OG watch of like, how did this happen? But it is interesting of like, how did Thomas play it wrong? I don't think he did, but it was a thing of, I think Camilla and Kyle, if they're not on your like winner chance, because like, I do think too, like everyone was like, how do they lose a challenge? And I didn't even get in that mindset of like, you're right, they're so dominant on both puzzles and physical, because I knew Thomas was getting snuffed from that picture on Twitter. I was like, God damn it. But like, how do they lose another challenge where it's like, you can clearly see some of those other tribes like, oh, maybe they're going to be weaker if it's push a big boulder, but they pushed a big cage because they have the strongest dude. So like, I'm just talking in circles right now. I'm just kind of saying like, last night's episode was good. Mm-hmm. And I think I've been some negative over some of this of like, there's been stretches of seasons that are good, and maybe we hit like a rough patch coming up, but I thought this was a really balanced episode that like gives me so many more questions I have moving forward. And like, in the preview for next week, like Jeff's crying and like, this has never happened in 48 seasons. And you're like, well, what the hell's going to happen next week? So I'm singing the praises. And then also like, it's time to dig deeper and think a little harder about this stuff. And I think one thing I want to dig deep on, the most outlandish thing I could say, is what are we voting for? Of like, it was.
And you are all over the place right now. Go ahead, finish your thoughts.
Yeah. We're voting for 50, and like, it just seems like a weird thing because it's such a good episode, but then half of the discourse is like the vote stuff, mm-hmm. and you're like, can we not enjoy like somebody going home? We got to see if we're gonna vote for Simotion or the iconic challenge that was only used once when Ben won it, or the iconic challenge where it was only used once where they put a fish puzzle together when Rachel won it. I'm like, these are not iconic challenges. These are the ones you have in the warehouse that you wouldn't have to repaint.
That's what I said.
Why are you writing iconic challenge and lying to your stuff? And like, this is my most outlandish statement of like, Jeff Probst is 63 years old. I had to look that up last night. You are letting your grandpa be in charge of your favorite reality show? Would you let your grandpa be in charge of your favorite reality show, your favorite board game, your favorite night out on the town? Like, I need Jeff to take a back seat, or I need the fans to realize what we're voting for isn't going to matter. Because it's going to get cycled through a 63-year-old who's in charge of everything, who will, oh, I know they said they wanted non-dynamic what are they called? Advantages?
Well, Will said that. It's objectively subjective. That's the way
Will so bad it. Of, oh, like, yeah. Dynamic, whatever, whatever. I would like to be, how do they not have, for example, an idol that you put two pieces together to make a super idol is on this one. An idol that's all by yourself. The Tyler Perry idol is this one. I'd mm-hmm. be like, oh, okay, that's clearly an example where we could be like, we hate that as a fan. It's so foggy where it's going to be like, we're just going to pick whatever we want and say it's that. And that's going to be a debate we have for 5 years after the show of like, why was 50 not as good as we thought it would be? You got to vote for it. It'll be like, all of those advantages were way too crazy, even though we voted for. Just give them a machete and one idol, and that's what a tribe needs.
Sorry, I'm taking a picture to put on Instagram because you just went on like the longest rant ever, and I was like, I don't think we've linked, so you might as well just keep rambling, Blake, because I want to get this out there so people will jump in and listen to us. You know,
you're doing such a
good job. I literally was like about to post this, and then you decide like, oh, now I'm gonna stop talking. Oh,
perfect.
Yeah, you couldn't have timed that any worse.
It's my bad. But I don't know. That's all that's in my head of like, anytime we're doing a vote, it's like, what are we doing? Of like, because it was it just some motion vote and advantages, or was there a third one too?
There was a third one. It was, do you want a tribe swap?
Of course I want a tribe swap. Like, what are you talking about? I want Mike. Here's what I want for 50, and then we can go back to 48. What I want in 50 is dynamic casts that are going to interact with each other as much as possible with as little production interference as possible. And I know you could probably say, well, that means you want, what is that one where they all get eliminated and go live on a different island? I haven't eaten yet. I'm
extinction.
Edge of Extinction. You want Edge of Extinction so they could talk some more. I don't want that.
Out, don't worry.
I want the dynamic people from the last 25 years of Survivor to interact with each other as much as possible without me rolling my eyes at production. That's all I want.
Okay. Well, so let's ask this. The tribe swap was an option of something to vote on. And Shane Cup has this here, a super chat. We always love a good super chat. If we're going to be mad at dice, shouldn't we also be mad at random tribe swaps?
No.
I say no. Exactly. I say no. And here's the reason why. Yes, a random tribe swap can stink. It can suck for everybody at hand. But you always are going to have a way to work your way out. You're going to look for cracks. There's enough advantages in the game. There's twists and random things that can happen. Thomas didn't go home strictly because of a tribe swap. Thomas went home because there was a tribe swap, but also because Thomas was duped by Kyle and Camilla. Kyle and Camilla played this better. Thomas could have done things differently that may have worked out better for him. For example, maybe he would have told other people in his alliance that he had to steal a vote rather than keeping it super safe. So I think that we shouldn't be mad, because rolling dice, one, isn't fun to watch. There's no strategy that can get you out of rolling dice poorly. And I think it's just idiotic. And a tribe swap has always been a part of the game where it's like, you could end up going, like, you know that you could be sent to a different place. When it comes to rolling dice, there is no way you can be good at rolling dice. And I understand that you can't be good.
I've been trying for years.
Yeah, you can't be good at picking a rock to go to a certain beach, but you can be good at working your way out of a bad situation there. When you roll the dice, you lose your vote, which is the only thing that's guaranteed to be good for you. Justin didn't go home because of a lack of skill. He went home because he didn't have a vote. Like, he literally couldn't do anything about it. So that's my take on that whole thing. No, I think that I don't think we should be nearly as mad.
The other thing that I thought about whenever he was like, are we mad about random tribe swaps? The only thing I think you could be mad about is because you picked the green buff, you have to go to the desolate camp that has nothing when you didn't earn that. Like, you beat the crap out of this tribe for 3 times in a row. And instead of getting to always reap those rewards, you basically buried yourself before you realized it.
Funniest line of last night was Jeff saying, Vula in the lead somewhere they're certainly not used to being. And it's like, this is literally five people who've never been on that beach. Like, what are you talking about? Like, what are you talking about?
That is something where I'm like,
it's just a lazy, fake narrative.
How are we not editing that out? Like, why is that getting sent to everybody? And that is maybe a, oh, because then... That sets the stage. When they do lose, it's like they blew it, just like all the other ones. And you're like, I'm just sitting here watching a thing where I know that that's not true. And you're like, why are you messing with my reality as I'm watching it?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's how I felt too. It was silly. It was a silly statement from a silly point. So,
and I don't think Thomas goes home if that same tribe is on the orange beach. Or the purple beach.
I don't necessarily agree with that. Here's my thing. I think that that tribe lost because they put the wrong people on the puzzle. That's what I think. And I think everybody else figured out that the last piece of the puzzle you were supposed to put in was the final piece that you obtained. And they never figured that out. And they were trying to put that in early. And every other tribe that got it done, that was the last or second to last piece they put in. They tried to put that in too early and it totally screwed them over. So I do think that that tribe probably loses that anytime just because of they didn't put Camilla as the main puzzle doer. And that was their mistake. They should have. And they've messed it up.
Also, did you guys talk about, is she allowed to call a puzzle like that? I haven't seen that before. I've seen a little bit like move it to the left, but not a full on. This is our strategy. I know only three people can touch the puzzle, but we could have a fourth person stand on somebody's body.
I think we see this all the time. I think we've seen it a lot this season where people are building a puzzle and you have somebody who's standing over and has a better image of it saying, no, 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 it's the piece over there. No, it's the piece over there. No, it's the piece over there. And they just keep saying that over and over again until the right pieces eventually end up getting put up.
Another thought process I have is, why is there only three people allowed? Like, get all five of them in there and get more bodies in there and everybody get angry at them. Like,
yeah, I always find that weird. I feel like they try to like, separate everybody a little too much, because I agree with you, like, why not just have it be a chaotic mess? Like, why not? I don't know, I feel like
and have the people who are smart enough to be like, I should take a step back, there's too many people here. Like, have that be not dedicated by producers, but like, are you smart enough to realize I'm the fifth cook in the kitchen, let me go stand by Jeff for a bit and say good job everybody, but then I also run the risk of like, why are you not helping? How old is Joe talking about beepers, by the way? Is that just because of his job?
A pager, that was so amazing. God, my dad had one of those for his job literally back in like the 90s. He's only 45. Like,
I guess that's 10 years older than us. Like, I think he must have been on the edge of like, beepers and pagers are for nurses in my mind. Of like, they still.
My dad had one working as an insurance appraiser. Like, it would be like, here's the beeper. Something's happening. I don't know. I always think of like, the only time I ever see a beeper now is like when I watch American Beauty back and he gets the buzz and he's like, oh, Jane left a book from school in my bag and I need to bring it over to her so she can do her homework. I'm like, was that information really accessible via a pager? Like, I don't remember what information you could get off of a pager.
I remember the message would go across,
right?
Yeah, but it was so slow and it was like maybe like two words of like, you could be like food or you could be like emergency call. And like, I think if you don't know what beepers and pagers are, they are literally just the first like text message thing ever, but it's not using the same satellite system. Because like, I think what people use them for when I'm talking about hospitals is like, oh, we have less like service in parts of the hospital wings, and we use beepers to like let people know quickly because we don't have like next to the X-ray machine or something.
Yeah. If you don't want people to have like a phone on them,
right?
It's something that you can use to like make sure.
I don't think you can hack beepers because why would you want to? But
yeah. It was just very funny when he said that. I was like, holy shit! What
are you 60 years old?
25. Yeah. We are getting a pager mentioned on the show.
We've had older people, but nobody's ever said beeper or pager.
I don't think we've ever heard that word on Survivor. I think he didn't say beeper, he said pager. Okay. I don't think that we've
they're beepers in my mind. My bad.
I agree, but I don't think that we've ever actually heard the word pager said on Survivor. So fun times. All right. Should you tell your tribe mates about your advantages? This is the question I want to ask you.
Okay.
Because now we've gone 21 minutes. I don't know what we've said, if we've said anything.
I made sure Jeff Probst never gives me a job, but it's
dude. Yeah, I mean, it was like, man, CBS is finally nice.
Get this old man out of here now.
I'm like, I literally get invited to the premiere event, and you're over here being like, dude, I hate everything. So like, hey, I don't condone anything Blake says. I just give him a platform, right?
My Survivor hot take is Jeff Probst should retire. Like ever have somebody write that on their hot take on the island, I'm gonna be like, let's go.
And can I just say that, like, that is such a bad hot take. And I believe that every time you say it, it gets stupider and stupider.
Great. Why don't you watch Jeff Probst's other shows that have all been canceled?
Well, why can't he just be good at one thing? I didn't go watch a bunch of other Bob Barker shows, but I was totally content. He was doing The Price is Right.
Okay. Well,
I didn't watch a bunch of other Alex Trebek.
Bob Barker could be the greatest game show.
Was Alex Trebek not good enough for you on Jeopardy?
Oh, you're mentioning the greatest game show host of all time.
And Jeff is the greatest reality TV show host of all time.
All right.
Zero questions asked.
All right. I think you could do Jeopardy 10 years longer than you could do Survivor, and I think it's finally shown up. That's what I'm saying.
Answer my question. Should you tell your tribe? We are now in an era where everybody's going on journeys. There's multiple people going on journeys over and over and over and over. We are seeing three people go on the same journey at the same time. Is it ever worth lying about what's happened on your journey? Do you think people are just going to assume the worst anyway? Like, we have now seen Justin go home because he didn't tell his tribe, and we saw Thomas go home because he didn't tell his tribe. And those aren't the only reasons they went home, but they played a big factor. So is it time to start telling people that you have advantages? Because Camilla knew Kyle had an idol and they played it perfectly. And Camilla gave Kyle her extra vote.
And Kyle knew about Camilla Singh because she literally last episode says, we're going to use this to screw over Loggy.
Yeah.
And it literally paid off. Like, that's what I'm talking about with Survivor, is pay off your freaking audience.
Yep.
And they're like, you remember last week? And that I think I saw your tweet where it was like, last time on Survivor. And it was all just people that are going to be on the new green. And
it all away. They literally gave it all away. I don't care what anybody says. They gave away the story of that episode in that moment, because they literally told you, pay attention to the fact that Camilla has an extra vote, that Kyle has an idol, and that Thomas has a steal a vote. Like, they literally told you everything. And John tried to say, well, they just said it in the order that it took place. No, that is not exactly what happened there. Okay. That's all I'm saying. That is not exactly what happened there. So,
let me preface this answer real quick. Of last year, whenever I showed up, I was saying everything for the first time, but now you have a year of my opinions and takes, or whatever we call them, where you could go look up on YouTube. And I know damn well there was at least one of these last year where we were like, how are you guys telling anybody anything?
Yeah.
And now it's going to be the exact opposite of, you have to tell people. And did the game literally evolve that quickly in two seasons? And I think the answer to that could be yes. Mm-hmm. Of like, the more seasons that are people are watching with these type things, we literally had Kyle pay off Jeff, even of like, I saw that season where everyone went home with an idol. Yep. I'm going to be playing mine.
Yep.
I think it does come down to, are you a social player? Are you going to get dragged a little further? Are you somebody who can think strategically? I think if you're a social player, you need to tell your strategic people about your strategic vote thing. Mm-hmm. If you are a strategic person, I would not tell people about my idol, but I do think Thomas went home because he thought he could overthink four people.
Yeah.
And that's something where you probably could in season 46. I'm not saying 46 is easier. I'm saying in season 48, people are more aware of what could be happening. And if I think when there's juries a year ago,
what just happened to your microphone? Holy crap. I hope everybody else heard that the way I did. Go ahead. Keep going.
When there's journeys, what happened? Was it loud?
I don't know, man. That was insane. That scared the crap out of me.
When your journeys, when there are journeys and you don't recognize them, it is easier to lie than like, I've never seen anything like that on TV before. You have to be lying is kind of crazy.
Jump scare from the furry, man, dude. That was wild. You have no idea.
What happened.
Listen to that back. 26, 25 or something.
I think it was
like
an
that.
Air bubble in the back of my face.
No, it was the microphone. Something happened there. No, I do think that we've moved past, and I agree with you. I agree with you that last season we probably had a part where we were like, stop telling people about everything. I mean, in season 46, I feel like we definitely said that because every time somebody told somebody about the idol, they got voted out while holding the idol. But I do think that the way Survivor is set up now, somebody had posted it. Let me see if I can find it. Zach said, not idols, yes to other stuff. I think I agree with Zach there. I think you should keep idols to yourself as much as you can if you can figure out the prompt by yourself without needing assistance. But I think that you should tell them about other stuff. Everybody knows what these journeys are all about nowadays. Everybody knows that the days of turning the wheel are gone and that you are actively doing something and that more often than not, you are going to be forced to risk your vote or risk something. We know that. I think you need to be straight up with the entire tribe every time. And if you have good enough relationship with the tribe, you need to trust that you can do that. Maybe if you lose your vote, maybe then you lie to your tribe about it. And maybe you say you obtained what the advantage was. But I think that if you get the advantage, you have to tell them. Because had Thomas told the California girls as soon as he came back, if he had gone up to them and said, yo, this is all good. This is all good. I got to steal a vote. This is great. I truly believe that they would have figured out because Shaheen knows the game well enough. I know Joe isn't as big of a fan, but Joe's still a smart guy. And I know Thomas, who's not the biggest Survivor fan, knows the game because he studied it once he found out he was going to be on it. They would have figured out, okay, to ensure we escape this, a 2-2-2. The other biggest thing, though, is they didn't find Kyle's idol. And I think had they actually not gone through Kyle's bag, they probably would have tried to come up with a different plan and maybe Thomas would have felt a little bit more desperate. But because they went through the bag and the idol wasn't there, they had no reason to suspect that Kyle potentially had something and that they needed to overthink the situation that they were in. Also, I need to say this because this is just too funny. And I don't know if Shaheen listens to us or not. I hope he does because I think he'd be proud of the fact that I'm like, actually, I think I'm saying his name right. So Shaheen tweeted out today, I'll go through your bag anytime I want. Come try to break my fingers. You don't intimidate me, cutie pie. At me next time with a Shrek gif of Shrek putting his arms up. Who do you think that's directed at?
I don't know.
Okay, who would you guess, though? You just watched the episode last night.
It would have to be Kevin, but I guess not.
Kevin? Kevin's been out of the game. It would have to be Kyle.
I mean, Kyle. That's what I said the wrong K-name. I'm a specialist, not a specialist.
Are you ready to hear who that's directed at?
Is it Star or no?
It's directed at Shane Powers.
Oh my God.
Because Shane Powers tweeted, you go through my bag and I break your fingers. And then he CC'd it at Bloom, Fishbach, and Dalton Ross. And so that's what Shaheen said. I'll go through your bag anytime just try to break my fingers. Good for Cheyenne, man. Don't back down. Don't back down to the old schoolers. Look, I love the old schoolers. I got Lauren O'Connell, who is now somehow an old schooler just because she played in the old era. I got Lauren O'Connell coming on the podcast on Sunday. I'm super excited for that. I got Todd coming on later this season. I've had Troy Zan on a bunch. You had Troy Zan on last season. You know what, though? Don't back down from these old schoolers. Don't let them bully you. Don't let them bully you. Shane's not breaking your fingers. No, sir. He's not breaking your fingers.
The thing that I watched earlier today, too, was like Thomas being like, oh, Shaheen didn't really go deep in. I would be like, you got to try harder. And I'm like, were you sitting right next to him? Like, how did you not? Hey, let's dump it out. Like, I think that's something that I would say to a Survivor fan that's like, I want to be the next Thomas, is like, you got to, if you're going to be the evil guy and talk about you're nefarious and like, I'm always looking for the thing, like, encourage other people and let people know, like, dump the bag out. Like, you got to go all the way as the evil and yeah, like, leave it in disarray when he comes back. And like, yeah, Kyle,
but Cheyenne was the one who went through it. That was the problem.
No, that's what I'm saying. Is but Thomas is right there. And Thomas being like, Cheyenne, what are you doing? Like, you saw everything. I think there was even a thing like that where I think we got the thought process of, it was in my shoe. How did they not check my shoe?
Yeah.
It's like, shoe is where I like, okay, I go bowling. And like, how do you go bowling? You can't have your phone and your wallet and your keys in your pockets, cause you need full, like, I can't throw my stuff up and fall over.
Yeah.
So what do? I take my shoes off. I put my bowling shoes on, and then I put my phone, my wallet, and my keys in the, because I like hanging out with my friends. I don't like being on my phone.
I was also just going to ask, how aggressively are you bowling? If you're literally
bowling, like, hard, bro. I go hard a lot. That's why I have a fake knee right now. But like, it's a thing where I put my keys in my shoes all the time, and that would be like a literally like, it protects it. Shoes would maybe be at the bottom of the bag so you don't get everything dirty. Like, there's so much of like, that's what I would check. But that's, obviously, I have all the information, but that's where my brain would go. As
nobody will ever not check the people's shoes moving forward. If their shoes are not on their feet, they
TSA did that. Even
one
person hid something in their shoes in the history of the United States of America, and now we all have to do it. And you're like,
yeah,
okay, sick. That should be on Survivor Fiji as well. Do you tell your people that you don't have a vote? I think is the interesting thing. Because Justin didn't say that, but Cedric and Stay could have worked, like, we want to work with you. And then let Stay be the transgressor of, she voted for Justin first. And then you have a full on, she tried to get Justin out. You can vote out Stay without any question or rhyme or reason, Cedric. And you save yourself so much there, too. But like, I think the same people you would say, I don't have a vote, are the people that you would like, I have to share this idol with you because we've been through so much.
Yeah.
But like, what's the biggest betrayal you think is going to happen on this season? Like, is Camilla going to knock out Kyle in like five rounds and it'll be like, you never saw it coming, and Camilla's like, I'm the biggest villain now? Or like, are these people going to be in the final four and only go home because one of them loses fire?
Yeah, that's exactly. And that's what I'm trying to figure out, too. It's like, I feel like everything's been set up pretty clearly of who's going to backstab who at this point. Like, Stay voting out Cedric isn't surprising. That's not like some, whoa.
That's like, like happening in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, like, I expect that to happen. Charity getting voted out by her ex-tribe mates, I expect that to happen. If Camilla were to vote out Kyle, yeah, that would be shocking. Here's the thing, though. We're going into next week. If that tribe were to lose again, which I really sincerely doubt they're going to, I really do. But I said that last week too, and I was wrong. If they were to lose again and the extra vote was used, it is 2-2. There's nothing else. Joe and Cheyenne are never voting for each other. They aren't. And Kyle
and Camilla, are they ever voting for each other?
I don't see it.
No.
So does that mean two people are drawing rocks over there? Or do you think somebody would be a little bit of a coward and say, I'm not drawing rocks, which I'm calling it cowardice, but like, I wouldn't draw rocks at final 14. No way. I changed my vote and try to play.
You would vote Blake Meyer out if we met on Survivor.
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
And you were like, we're doing the Survivor Specialist podcast on the island and making everyone laugh. And then at final 15, you just stab me in the back. I do think that's going to be some motivation. Not that you need motivation to win challenges in Survivor, but I think that'll be a, one of you have been in sports before, probably Joe, goes, if we lock in, mm-hmm. we are the, yes, everyone gets to sit someone out, but they're sitting out the people we would have crushed anyway. We could crush the people that are in. We just need to lock in. We don't want to be going to rocks and killing each other. Let's save that for the merge. Let's just crush these people in challenges. I think that's a bad strategy to rely on that so much for most other tribes. But like we go out 15th if you played with Phil. Oh my God.
Yeah, nostalgia. Just put that in there just to mess with Blake a little bit. Blake needs that type of positive reinforcement to let him know really where he sits.
No, I definitely think all my dreams are still possible. Yeah, nothing's been going wrong in my life for years now, and it really feels like I'm about to crescendo into something that people are going to be wowed by.
I mean, I think your speech at the beginning of this podcast is something people will be wowed by. You went through every part of that episode in 10 minutes, and I don't know if there was a single transition that made sense, and yet somehow I listened. I was into it, so...
I really do like Stream of Conscious. Is there, who's the last Stream of Conscious survivor that we had do well? I don't think it works in Survivor.
It doesn't. And they would never edit that person. Like, we wouldn't see the stream.
I guess it's literally, we could just say Carolyn. Like, she seems Stream of Conscious. But I mean, like, that's fair. Am I as personable as her? No shot. So I get it. I don't have
as personable as Carolyn, really?
Well, she's like one of the top five. Like, I know. I would say I'm more personable than 20% of survivors ever. I don't know if I would get in the top 10% or top 5. You got to be a little realistic.
I like that though. You put yourself pretty high up there. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
What did you say, 20%? That's pretty good.
One in five. Yeah. I'd be, if there was a tribe of six people, I'm probably one of the two fun people. But as long as we're winning, as long as we're winning. If we're losing, I'm worse than Brandon Donlin.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, Blake does not like losing. Blake wouldn't fill out a bracket because Texas lost last night. He's never been more miserable.
Oh my God. Definitely college basketball took a hit this year of like, it has not been as fun to watch for me because the Longhorns are pointless and you got to see them be pointless last night, and they always lose in the most embarrassing fashion. So
I was worried about doing the podcast.
Andrea Boelke of college basketball.
I was really worried about doing the podcast at this time because Gonzaga, Georgia's on, Clemson, McNeese, BYU, VCU. The closest game right now is 9 points, which is Clemson, McNeese, and that's only because there's 45 seconds left. VCU is losing by 17, and Georgia's losing by 21. So thank God we podcasted now because college basketball couldn't be any less interesting. March Madness has found a way to be boring on the first day so far. Every game, I think, has been decided by double figures thus far, which is just absolutely heart-wrenching to think about. So, all right, Blake.
Wait, I like what Jairo's saying. We haven't been paying attention. Are we getting two Davids winning in the year of our Lord 2027 or whatever year we were
2025.
In 2025.
Deal or No Deal Island. And I mean, okay, first of all, I want to address Deal or No Deal Island right now. And if you pay attention to Deal or No Deal Island, we did our podcast yesterday. They literally spoil. And I don't care because they put it out there. They spoil their cliffhanger that David is the one who plays the banker. Like, they literally spoil it in their next time on. I'm not spoiling it. They spoiled it.
I'm sure someone was running over to their phone to push the pause button to be like, no, don't say it. Don't say it. You went so quick in there. Obviously, the survivor, David, here's some stuff. I don't know if we should say this or whatever. He had a girlfriend last episode.
Yeah.
And then he goes, this episode, he goes, hey, random girls that I'm talking to, my ex-girlfriend. And I was like, wait. What?
I think he's in a complicated relationship.
Then he was like, if I win, I'm going to propose to her, though.
Yeah. And no, I think so he said that they got back together, right? So they broke up because of money situation. Cool. And they got back together. That is what he said. That is how this is being handled right now. So they broke up because of a money situation. They got back together. Now
broke up between episodes. Yeah, David, and they let him know
his girlfriend broke up with him between episodes. Duh. I mean, I love that. But But that's what took place here. So it's a complicated relationship. He's figuring it out. That's all we need to know, right? Like, that's all we need to know. I feel like
money, I don't think we would know that.
Stressor if- on relationships. It's a fact. Okay. Yeah. That is the biggest stressor on relationships. That is the one number one thing that most couples argue about. So I mean,
single people argue with their bank accounts all the time too.
Yeah. Yeah. Trust but me. You get what I'm saying. So yeah, I feel like, you know, good for, I mean, I'm not going to judge Dave. People are out there being like, maybe she's not all that princess you think she is, Dave. It's like, wait, we don't know what the situation is. I mean, you know, I doubt that she's being, I don't think she's being a gold digger. I don't think that's the story we're getting here. I think this is very endearing. And I'm going to be honest, based on having seen David play this game, I think he's a pretty good judge of character, because so far everything he's called about every single person out there has been perfection. Now, maybe he's only got a spidey sense for people that he's not dating, but if that's the case, then that's the case. But I think he's been doing such a phenomenal job on this season. So
the people that have the radar for friends are the people that always have, like, and I it doesn't work for me when it comes to love. Like that is a clear, that's been in every comic book or movie or novel you've read as an 8-year old, where you're like, oh, why is the main character dating Ginny Weasley? It's like, I don't know, dude. It's so stupid. There's got to be somebody cooler than Ginny Weasley. Well,
they were bitter about that, right?
Like, they were friends growing up. It's like, he wants to date a redhead. Is he stupid? He has all the money in the world.
Why would you insult both of us?
Because that's self-deprecation, baby. We got a question. One other thought process I have for David. There was something else I was going to say. I don't think we would know his relationship status from episode to episode if he's not in the top four. But like, yeah, I think we've said that about three people now. Of like, what is this new? I think there's a new editing strategy for 48 versus some of these other seasons, where we're like, we're about to make you feel so paid off by this finale. So like, everyone's favorite season is 48, and it's like, but we just had everyone love 47. So I'm wondering if they were like, we didn't know if people would love 47, so we made 48 like so specific this way, of like, we have clear losers and clear winners that are all about to pan out over the next like 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, because we have the question here from Thomas McGee, and Will and I talked about this last night. Do you really think David is going to win? I think he's too big of a challenge threat and too much of a jury threat. It would be stupid to let David get to the end. And these players are not stupid. I just think we know what a jury threat he is right now, because it's the edit we're being shown, right? Like, I look at edit. I don't look at like what every single person is thinking. I'm looking at the edit. And right now, the edit that I am watching on this season of Survivor is the story of David and all of these things about David. From personal information, we know so much about him. And these are 90-minute episodes. I feel like we know the most about him. I truly do. I feel like we know the most about him. So yeah, I'm
last time we had Kyle do extremely well in challenges, and he wasn't a stuntman, where it's like, I'm sure there's going to be at least, oh, David went on a 3-win win streak and then like had an idol for the fourth time, or like, the girls are like, no, David's on her side. We want to keep him around. And they just keep eliminating maybe threats that he has. And like, it's funny that we're talking about this after 4 episodes, because there's 2 more months of Survivor.
Yeah.
And like David could literally go home in 2 episodes and it could be like, we tried a misdirection at it because we like David so much. And you're like, what is the rhyme or reason? Is there a rhyme or reason? Are they focused on 48? Are they focused on 50? It does feel like, if you've been paying attention to Survivor a lot and you're not switching your like winner pick to David, if your what is it called? Fantasy pool allows you. My fantasy pools that I play with people from Texas, I had Thomas as my number one, where if he wins, you get minus 10 points off your score. So I got, I think minus, I got added 15. It's golf scoring, so it's whoever has the lowest.
Yeah.
I'm clearly out after 4 episodes of like, Thomas screwed me so bad, because I
talked about this. I talked about this on the after show. I know this is like the most off topic, all over the place podcast.
I'm loving it
that we've ever done.
This is stream of conscious, not digging deeper.
Yeah, seriously. This is, I mean, look, I was just watching Clemson try to come back from the dead to win this game in the side tab while I'm talking to you. I'm doing both things at the same time. I can do it. I know what's going on.
Great.
I want to bring up this, because I talked about this in my after show. I love talking about confessionals, and this is where I look at from David and why David to me screams winner right now. Say has 40 confessionals. Okay, she's blowing everybody out of the water. She also had the most ever in the first episode and then whatever. So Say, we'll see what happens. Next up is Kyle. He has 21. He's been to a tribal council and he went on the journey in episode one. So he's second place. Third is Mary. She went to three tribal councils and she went on a journey. Makes sense. Fourth is Camilla. She just went to the tribal council last night. She got six confessionals there. So that's a big deal. Next is David. He has 17. Hasn't gone on a journey, which everybody ahead of him has done, I think, with the exception of Say. Hasn't gone to a tribal council, which everybody ahead of him has done. And like, he's like not the kind of guy who generally eats up screen time in New Era Survivor anymore. He just isn't. And so to me, that just screams so much about we need.
Like, unless he wins.
Yeah. Like, it means something is happening. Otherwise, why are we watching all of this play out?
Truly. Why are we watching all this play out? I mean, because we love Survivor and we want to see. The only thing that I'm talking about with Jeff being 63 is the, as it went to commercial, he's throwing the thing through the thing just like you watch everyone else did. And he's never a doubt. Like, clearly there's like 100 on the ground that he missed right before. And you're like, Jeff,
was his first try. I think it was his first try.
It was clearly like his 33rd. Then there was a whole staff of handing him bags back. But like, I think my favorite person is Pinner because he does give it back to Jeff of like, Jeff,
yeah,
quit taking yourself so seriously. And like, Jeff fell down in one of these challenges, like in the last three episodes, but didn't address it and didn't go like, that challenge was crazy enough. I even fell down. And like, if you're going to be wacky grandpa, like that's such a wacky grandpa thing. And like, are we going to be watching Survivor 60 when Jeff is 68 years old? Like, yeah, is he going to be still hosting?
Dude, like, I would watch it. I don't know what your thing with Jeff. Jeff on the show is in no way, shape, or form a problem. Like, literally, Jeff on the show, you are never going to find anybody who's better. Ever.
Jeff
if you want to complain about this, Survivor sucks, still exists. Go bring back your account from when you were
there.
Oh,
my God.
Because honestly, the whole Jeff host thing, no. Like, that's a nonsense thing.
I think I'm more worried about whenever he is pandering to the camera for casting, there are not contestants around. So maybe that's the Jeff that is my least favorite of he's doing it for the audience at home. And then maybe there's also the Jeff in America that's answering questions from reporters and stuff that like just loses touch with reality completely of like, we need to share more women's stories. And you're like, I know you have not thought that in your whole life because I've watched seasons from.
I disagree. I disagree that he hasn't thought that his whole life. I think the editing style has changed significantly in the new era. I think since the Erica win, the editing style has changed significantly. And I will say, I think Parv's reaction to that was super negative because I feel like literally he talks about how Fans versus Favorites is one of his all time favorite seasons because of the Black Widows. And he talks nonstop about how much he loves Parvati and Sari. So like, I don't know.
Right. Cause let's go ahead and just put this back on 48. Is there anybody still in the game that's going to like give it back to Jeff, or are they all super fans that are like, it was so nice seeing Jeff. Like, I'm sure like Rome was somebody that would poke at him a little bit last time around. Mm-hmm. And like that immediately said as a villain or whatever, but then he like secretly idolizes Jeff and wants to sit in his seat.
Yeah.
But like, is Shaheen going to be like, Jeff, give us a freaking break. Like we need our freaking Flint back. This is one of the worst challenge, like worst twists in Survivor history of not giving us any fire. Like I've had fire for the last 8 days. Like let us use our freaking torch or something.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know if they give it back to him or not. I mean, I'm sure there's some people, but also like,
why didn't they show us them eating the fruit, man? I want to see them chowing down and being like, I've never tried pineapple before. You know, we didn't get that with this new cast. And that's just what I'm expecting from a new season of New Era Survivor.
I really did love that. They were like, that they were, somebody had posted like a meme that was like this
Sam Phelan bucket list or
something. That bucket list, that's what it was. Yeah, that was so funny. I love that.
I think everybody's getting really good at posting on Twitter of the jokes. I think people get a little bit carried away of like, oh, the star updates is going crazy. Of like, I think the only thing we're coming up on is like, when Eva votes out Star and it happens and everyone accuses her of being racist, like, are we going to be like, God damn it, she's playing a game for $1 million? Or are we going to really say all of that on the internet and ruin this woman's life?
It won't ruin her life.
Yeah.
Star update, like, I mean,
they're going to try their best to ruin Eva's life when that happens. You're like,
God. Yeah, I mean, it all depends on if you, I mean, I don't know. People are crazy right now, but I don't want to talk about that. We were doing Tribe Swaps, telling Tribe Mates. We're done.
Okay.
I'm going to go eat dinner.
People are getting really good at jokes.
They are.
And then the Wurtenbergers, where do you know about Big Brother and how they're doing a whole season of Amazing Race?
Yeah, and the two of them aren't on it?
Yeah, they got left at the altar because I think they were the alternate. Ooh, alternate. Wow. Didn't see that one coming. But everyone was like, how are they not on the show? I think their humor is so good for the internet, especially Zach's, where I'm like, I don't know if that's going to translate when you're traveling through China.
But The Amazing Race is also a very goofy show. And I feel like Zach's humor is very dry and very goofy, which like are two things that work really well on that. So I actually think that, but I don't look, there is nothing that interests me less than watching Big Brother or The Amazing Race than Big Brother's playing The Amazing Race. That's the only thing in the world that is less interesting. Okay.
Everyone donate $5 if you want just Phil to do next season of Amazing Race. And if we get to $5, Phil will do it all by himself.
I'll tell you what, we get $500. I will do The Amazing Race by myself. There you go.
All right, great.
Not a penny less. All right, we're out of here. I'm going to go watch some basketball and eat some dinner. So everybody, enjoy your night. Thank you for digging deeper with us, kind of whatever the hell just happened tonight. We'll be back next
digging
week.
Digging deep into Blake's brain about
survival. Yeah. I'll be live Sunday with Lauren O'Connell. Not sure what time yet. Follow us on social media so you can find out. Make sure you hit the bell, too, because when we don't post on Instagram and stuff, I don't think anybody knows that we're live. So make sure you hit that bell so you get notifications every time we go live. Like this video, subscribe to the channel, and we will see you next time.
See ya.